Unfortunately, this week's podcast suffered some technical issues, so we've had to use some alternative audio. Please forgive, and things will be back to normal next week.
The Pro Tools Expert Podcast with James Ivey, Alan Salabag, and Dan Cooper.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Pro Tools Expert Podcast number 343, or 343, depending on where you're from. It's the 29th of October, 2018. My name's James Ivey.
I'm Dan Cooper.
And I'm Alan Salabank.
Dan, fire, go!
Michael Carnes from Exponential Audio has now shared three tips with our podcast community. Check out our entire expert reverb tips and tricks article from the reverb maestro Michael Carnes at Exponential Audio, in which we bring together the three tips Michael has produced for our podcast community. They are making great sounding small rooms, that's very useful, using the chorus effects in reverbs creatively in the R2 series, and how to use the tail suppression feature in the second generation Exponential Audio reverb plugins. We have also a podcast exclusive deal from Exponential Audio, but you will have to wait a little bit longer for that. Alan, deals.
Yes, well, it says here last few days, but actually by the time you hear this, it'll be the last 2 days. So better get on with these quickly. Yeah. So this month's featured deal is from Leaping Audio. And until the 31st of October, get 20% off their Center One Spatial plugin and Dyne One Parallel Multiband Dynamics processors, making them just over £143, including VAT each. And don't miss Julian's great tutorial on how to get the best results out of your Dyne One plugin as well. Avid are offering UJAM's excellent solid and heavy virtual drummers at 50% off until October the 31st. Don't forget to check out the deals from our partners on our deals page. Highlights include Isotope offering introductory prices on RX7, Insight 2, and their new post-production Suite 3. And Avid and Audient are offering special discounts for students. Plus, Krotos have a special Halloween deal coming up. So keep an eye out for that.
Spooky.
Scary, yeah.
Couldn't resist. Sorry.
We've been doing this too long, James.
Oh, yeah.
Have you done your pumpkin yet, Dan? Or pumpkins in your case.
I've got three of them in the hallway that I believe the children are doing now. So I run out of the house to do this podcast because I don't want to be around for that mess.
No, we did after the night.
My wife bought one, but I believe she wants me to make a soup.
That sounds very mature and adult. Okay, quickly moving on away from that conversation. It's time to move on to our talking points, and these are sponsored by our friends at Universal Audio. Over to you, Fab.
Good morning, children. This is Fab DuPont. The Pro Tools Expert Podcast Talking Points are brought to you with the support of Universal Audio.
Did you know the team at Universal Audio are offering you the chance to build your own plugin bundles of 3, 6, or 10 plugins from one low price and save over 60%? Just pick your bundle and then choose your plugins. It's that simple. You can find out more in the podcast notes down there somewhere. Okay, so talking point number one, does peer pressure affect your upgrade choices? I really need to step away from this one. as the probably the biggest gear monkey on the team, maybe Central Europe, possibly the world, who knows?
The side of the equator, definitely.
Yeah. I'll tell you more about recent purchases, well, shortly, I suspect, and you'll get to see it soon enough. But it wasn't something I had planned. And anyone who is a friend of mine on Facebook will have seen yesterday that I'm selling everything.
I did notice that.
Not quite wondering. Everything, but a very large chunk of things to fund a new thing. Anyway, so does peer pressure affect your upgrade choices? Alan, discuss.
Well, I mean, part of this comes from the fact that a peer of mine was discussing choices for a 5.1 monitor outfit, and they were asking about what has become the sort of default choice for most people in post-production for multi-channel, which is Genelec. And that got accused of being a Me Too brand. So you only buy Genelecs because people you're working with have them. Now, then, of course, Russ's article came along, the weekend article. A bigger, better recording studio may not help you get the great recording you want. There is a different way. And yeah, it's there's a lovely subheading there called Vanity or Sanity. Now,
are you listening, James?
I'm not pointing this at anyone in particular. I must stress this, but yeah, and I'm actually in the process of decking out a new studio as well, and I've had to be very careful about how far I let myself run away with, you know, because I could, yeah, I could go, oh yeah, the computer could do with some more RAM, and I could do with a bigger screen, and I could do with this and do with that and do with that. And from my point of view, it's more about compatibility with other people. But I do have the occasional guilty pleasure of, no, I want to get that because it's nice. Now, do you do you find that overruling your sense, as it were? Or, you know, do you, like myself, do you also have the voice in your head, which the wife saying, yeah, I need new cupboards.
God, I really don't need to go near this conversation right now. Let me think of an intelligent answer and come back to you. Dan?
Okay. This then comes at a timely time. I did my taxes yesterday, completed them all, the last year's worth of ins and outs of the business. And I was shocked, absolutely shocked at the
big figure at the end. Do you need to spend some more money quickly?
No. It's all everything's above board. The accountant
you don't need to spend less money
this
quickly.
Year. No, yeah, it's all good. But it was working out what I've spent money on assets-wise, and that includes the studio, because that was completed just over a year ago. So quite a few of those invoices do sort of carry over to this tax period for me, whatever. Huge amount of money. And I'm sitting in here looking around going, okay, could I have done without, I don't know, that or this or that? And I'm looking around and going, yeah, I have spent quite a bit of money on outboard gear this year, Teglers. I have spent quite a bit of money on the studio. Well, I had to, otherwise I'd have been working in the conservatory still, boiling my ass off. I don't know, vanity or sanity. If I'm going to buy something, I've got to say to myself really hard, is that going to earn me money? Is that a tool that I can use that's going to make my life a bit easier? Is it going to get better results? Am I going to appreciate it? Am I going to get the value out of it? I rarely buy something if I don't need it. That's something I used to do when I was younger and go, yeah, you know, I'm just going to buy lots of guitars. And it's nice to have a rack full of guitars. And then you realize after 6 months, half of them are covered in dust and you don't play them. And you wasted your money and try and sell them and you don't get a lot of money for them. So I don't spend crazy in the studio. I get quite a few people who will come in the studio and watch me work or work with me or collaborate with me, whatever. They go, wow, I love what you're doing. Do I need one of these compressors? Do I need Adam monitors? Do I need... And I go, no. You don't... No, what have you got? And they'll tell me they've got like prosumer stuff or plugins and whatever. I could just use them. Just learn to use that stuff and learn it well. There's no point spending money if you're not earning money out of this industry. If you're doing it as I use this term a lot, I'm sorry if I offend people, but enthusiast, there's no need to spend thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds on stuff. If you're in the industry and you're working day to day, mixing music, recording, production, you name it, and you get to a point where you feel you can improve your workflow and you have the money to do so, I don't see a problem with it. But you still have to hold your bank card, look at it and go, okay, that thing I'm going to buy for £1,000, £2,000, £4,000, whatever, is that going to improve my workflow? Is that going to make me a better professional? Is that going to make me deliver better work? And yeah, if it's yes to all of those, then beep, done. James, I know you don't do any of that.
No, the funny thing is, all jokes aside, and as hilarious as it is, yes, I do buy a lot of toys. Hands held well and truly up in the air, I like my toys. However, not much comes in.
Hold on, I'm just going to get Jen on the phone, James, so she can hear
this. Thank you. Yeah. And she knows this because she's seen the piles of stuff that have been through, you know, the eBay processing lab that is the living room sofa, because sofas are good to take as a backdrop for things. She's seen the piles of things that are going out recently. Now, we always joke that because of obviously what we do with Production Expert, there's a lot of boxes and stuff, rack units coming in and stuff. And she says, why is it always that there's more coming in than going out? And I always joke, well, because it's because I'm buying all this stuff, you know. And the truth of the matter is, a lot of the stuff that does come in does stay. Because, like, for example, recently the SSL Fusion. That's one of those pieces I went, this is an asset to me. This really suits my workflow. I really like the way it sounds. What I'm doing, in my opinion, sounds better with it. Therefore, I've said, can I keep it, please? And they've said, no, you can't have that one because it's a press mule or whatever. But we'll sort you out with another one when we've actually got them, because they've been quite popular, funnily enough. But no, you know, I have a rule in the studio. If I don't use it in a year, I don't need it. Now, the truth of the matter is that most of the stuff in here gets used very, very often. There are no dusty guitars on the walls. There are no rack units that don't get switched on. Because if they don't get switched on, they're dead money in a rack space. So I think, right, get shot, get something I want. Now, the truth of the matter is there is always something I want. There's always the next thing. But that's me. That's not going to change. That's a personality thing. That's the way I work. I always want to try the next greatest thing. That's one of the things that drives me as a gear junkie, if you like. Could I do just as good a mix inside the box? Yes. Do I have more fun? And am I more creative using tools out of the box? Well, I think I am. So, and that's what matters, which is kind of linking into our second talking point. But you mentioned something at the beginning, this thing about fitting in. And there, when you're in and again, I'm going to use your term, Dan, an enthusiast's environment. We used to call them project studios back when. Mm. It doesn't matter what gear you have. However, there's a particular pair of speakers that throughout the 80s, you did not have a recording studio unless you had a pair of NS10s on the meter bridge of your console. It was one of those things. It's like, unless you've got a U87 microphone, you are not a recording studio. Now, that has changed. That's changed twofold. One, because people have realized that maybe those monitors might not have been the greatest sounding monitors on planet Earth. Let's hold your opinions on that for a moment.
Yeah.
That's not the point. And the second thing is that there are so many great products out there now. There are so many great mics, great monitors, great compressors, great, you name it. There are probably 50 we could name that we'd all go, oh, I'd have that, definitely, you know. Mic pre's, EQs, compressors, limiters, reverbs, hardware this, hardware that, software this, software that. All the stuff that's out there, 9 times out of 10, is all very good, all very usable, all very solid purchases. It comes down to which one you A, like, B, have an affinity with, and C, can afford. These days, there isn't the snobbery of, well, you're not a proper post-production facility unless you've got a, or you're not a proper recording studio unless you've got a, you know, I'd like to think that snobbery has gone away just because we have options now.
It has definitely changed. I mean, obviously, you know, all my dream kit from my earlier career was all six figures. So it was literally just dream kit. You know, it was kit I got to use at work, but there was not a hope in hell that I'd ever own one myself or be able to afford the air conditioning and the three-phase power supply to, you know, power it all. So that was the thing, but it has changed now. So you're getting constantly you get bombarded by emails from manufacturers saying, own this plugin with so-and-so's name on it that so-and-so says they can't do without.
I bet they can.
You know, go on.
I have a very interesting, I suppose it's a kind of theory, hypothesis. There's a good word for a Monday evening. And it goes something like this. And sorry, I'm a bit off track. It's to do with gear and toys and stuff. Imagine a meter ruler, 100 centimeters, if you will. And on the far left-hand side is little Dan, little James and little Alan with their four track or their Atari or, you know, our first teenage steps, yeah, into recording.
Yeah.
Now, at the other end, at 100 centimetres, at the full metre, is Abbey Road, Capitol, Strong Room. You know, pick your Uber studio with the SSL and all the Neve and the, you know, the amazing monitors and the mic collection to die for and all that sort of stuff. These days, in with modern budgets, as in a sensible amount of money to throw at some kit, we can buy the same electronics as they are using. You know, we could all have Pro Tools HD systems with, you know, a modest budget. We're not talking hundreds of thousands. We're not talking six-figure studios anymore. Mm. We're talking tens of thousands to have the same level of kit as those guys have got. And that will probably get us sonically up towards 90 centimetres of our imaginary meter rule. That extra 10 centimetres is...
it's everything.
Millions and millions of pounds of infrastructure, of building, of space, of extra people, of...
oh, you would easily be on your third wife by then.
Oh, yeah, and some. It is, it's millions and millions of pounds worth of investment, which is why the big studios are very few and far between these days, because,
yeah,
you know, electronically, we can get the same gear as they've got. And if you need to record an 80-piece symphony orchestra, you still need to go to one of these amazing facilities like Abbey Road or Capitol.
Because they're set up and specialised for that type of working. Exactly. The majority of people that are doing this thing that is music production, let's say, I'm going to go music production because that's what I do. We don't work with more than, let's say, typically 3 to 5 people on a project. When you want a string orchestra, hello, 30 people.
You go to said studio.
Yeah, you've got bloody space. I remember being caught out many years ago. Someone rang me up and said, I've got a very small children's choir. Do you mind if we come around to yours to record it? This is when I was in my first studio over in Crystal Palace. And that was a 5 by 5 metre room. And I said, okay, how many kids you got? And they went, about 10, maybe 12. I went, okay, that was squeezing. I'll take the sofa out and the guitar amps and the drum kit. There'll be plenty of room. Last minute, they brought 30 kids in.
Oh, yeah. That was cozy.
Oh, yeah, that was. It was, and they were little kids, you know, like 5, 6 sort of years old. It was chaos. So, yeah, that's the sort of thing where I thought, well, maybe they should have gone to another studio and not here, a place where they had more room. But yeah, let's just go back to this. Does peer pressure affect your upgrade choices? I don't think it can affect, but sometimes it can influence. What I mean by that is this happens on the team quite a lot when we talk offline. Amongst ourselves, let's say recently I've been talking about possibly changing my monitors. Funny, so has Julian. Funny, so has Russ recently. So has Eli. We end up talking about these things, and we end up sort of all start shopping together, even though maybe we don't all hit buy at the same time, but we kind of influence each other into certain things. I mean, we've done this a few times in the past as well, and we've talked software or we've talked microphones, and we've all gone, oh, yeah, you know, maybe we should look at that as well. And do you know what I mean? Me and my wife do it with guitars. You know, she gets the itch to buy a guitar. Funny, so do I.
Yes.
Who's going to buy the most expensive one? Well, it's going to be me. But yeah, we sort of influence each other a little bit.
And what I actually think is funny is that out there in podcast land, you could be listening to this going, you know, watching our reviews of XYZ microphone interface or whatever and go, hang on, you're the guys who influence my buying decisions. Which is and
that is not our intention.
That is not our intention. We are just showing off the gear to the best of its ability and our ability.
We're playing with toys, basically, and yeah.
Shh, someone will hear you, Dan. They'll think we work for a living. But you know, if we're your sounding board, then great. That's why we're here. That's why we have a community of people who we engage with through the podcast, through our site through questions and emails and stuff like that. That's what we're here for. So as much advice as you can handle, we are happy to dish out. We are never, ever, ever going to tell you to spend money, even though I might have put "you really need this in your pro audio life" on a few reviews. We are never going to tell you to get the plastic card out, because quite frankly, going into debt for gear is stupid.
I've just going to round this up with something. This year, I've learned something so important, and that is to try the gear before you buy the gear. Obviously, I've been doing this for years, but this year, more than any other year, obviously, you guys know I've been getting these takelers in, because I've been, you know, taking full advantage of their 14-day free trial where they ship it to you and you have a good play with it. But I've been doing that with lots of other gear recently. Obviously, we've got some contacts in the industry, whatnot, but anyone has contacts in the industry. You just need to contact your local dealer or just reach out to a brand and see if they'll lend you said bit of gear for a week so you can try it in your studio. If you're serious about potentially buying something, they will listen to you. And I'm not going to buy anything now expensive over a couple of grand unless I've had it in the studio for at least a fortnight. That's it. And I'm going to play hardball with companies now moving forward. If I'm interested in that bit of gear, I've got to try it first and know if I want it. It's like, you're not going to buy a car and not test drive it. Yeah. Even if it's an old banger, you're not going to take it around the block once. So you're not going to just leave it on the drive and go, I'll buy it.
Less for an old banger than you do some studio kit.
Still, you've got to try the gear. You can't just watch videos that we create and things like that on YouTube and read reviews and whatnot and go, I'm going to buy that. You've got to try something. If you try it in your own studio as well, that's probably the most important thing, is try it in your own studio, and then that will help you make better choices as well.
So hopefully that's informative, in some way, shape or form useful. Let's park this one for now. Again, it does kind of come back around in an echo chamber kind of way for our next talking point. But for now, Dan, talk about competitions.
Competitions. This month, we have partnered with our friends at IK Multimedia to offer you three opportunities of winning a copy of IK Multimedia's Total Studio Max 2 music production bundle worth €1,199. This is an epic bundle. It's got pretty much everything.
Sounds like something you get in the playground. An epic bundle.
Yeah, it's got everything in it. Amplitude, T-Rack suite. Absolutely love that. Oh, what else? Oh, it's just got everything IK Multimedia do. And yeah, it's well worth entering to be in for the chance of winning one of those copies. So yeah, talking point number two, James.
This one from our brother from another website. Corner of the production expert universe, Eli Kranzberg, 17 brutal truths about DAW life nobody wants to admit to.
And I've got a problem with this because he's only listed 17.
Exactly.
I'm a bit OCD about this. I want to get... So what we're going to do, we're going to get this up to 20 on this podcast. We're going to finish Eli's lazy work. So let's get it up to 20.
There are some words that can go together, and Eli and lazy are
No, you're right. I'm being too hard.
Possibly the most prolific tutorial maker on planet Earth. We are very, very lucky to be working with him.
Absolutely.
And I, every time we meet up at NAMM for normally gin and tonic, it seems to be, I always go away learning. It's one of those shut up and listen moments. There's an awful lot of those happen at NAMM. But anyway, so check out Eli's article, which is on the Logic Pro expert side of things. And he lists, say, 17 things that are totally relevant, you know, totally, totally relevant, all the way from, you know, like your software will go out of date, things will break, things will need replacing, to you can't make everyone happy, you can't be perfect. I already am, but hey. It's a really good list, a really thorough list. However, I'm sure, as we've all alluded to, we can push this to 20. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. It doesn't matter what DAW you use.
Amen, brother.
Absolutely doesn't matter. A blind bits. We use Pro Tools. Eli uses Logic. He uses Pro Tools as well when he's feeling fruity.
He doesn't use Fruity Loops.
He doesn't use Fruity Loops. So you can use any DAW you want except from Fruity Loops. No, I'm joking. No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The most important thing about this is not your DAW. It's the music you're feeding into it. That is, I think, is forgotten sometimes. You hear people always talking about, yeah, I've just finished a mix, or what's the best mixing plugins, or what's the best thing for mix? Mix. Sod the mix. What's your music doing? So you're overcompensating for something. It's all about the music. The mix is just part of the production chain. It's that little bit at the ends. It's not the first bit, I've got a really nice song. I want to make this song better, so I'm going to use some arrangement here. I'm going to make sure the structure's good. I'm going to maybe gig it, and then I'm going to get some people in, and we're going to have some fun, and we're going to track, and we're going to get the best we can down the microphone and all that sort of stuff. And if all those things, work, the mix is just this little thing you do at the ends. But people bang on about it, don't they? And then the argument starts, the door wars. No, you want to mix in Pro Tools because Pro Tools is better than Logic. Oh, no, but Logic is better than MIDI. Oh, sodding hell, get over it. Does it matter? My wife come back from a songwriting retreat recently, and they're all using Logic, and she's using Pro Tools. So clearly she had the daggers all week from everyone. And she come back and went, is Logic really better at MIDI? I went, don't you dare say that in this house. I said, it doesn't matter. I said, all your colleagues you've now met are wrong. I said, it doesn't matter what DAW you use, as long as you make music with it, and you make good music, and you're comfortable using it, and you can work quickly and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, that's 18. Who's up for 19?
I'll go with one. Okay, 19 is don't swear at your kit. It doesn't help.
I like that. I like that.
And I'm the world's biggest breaker of that rule, I have to say. I get particularly dockyard-esque.
Colourful language. Do certain pieces of gear have their own, shall we say, pet names?
Yeah. Right. But yeah, that's the thing. I really should learn that. But part of me feels better. And then instantly, after feeling momentarily better for having called this thing a long string of gynecologically orientated descriptive terms, I don't feel very, very, very guilty.
Alan,
as if I've almost offended the piece of kit or the piece of software.
I want to come round and do a session with you after you've upgraded Pro Tools. I just want to sit there and make coffee for the
Windows
day.
It doesn't make. I don't get those dramas. But there you go. On that note, there's another rule. Yeah, there's a part B to that rule. Then, okay, yeah, don't slag off the operating system. So, but yeah, I have this. My wife's Italian. She's very expressive, as are a lot of Italians. I mean, it's not the be all and end all of Italians, but and there are calm ones as well. But we confidence her, and I said, well, why did you explode like that? And she goes, well, A, I'm Italian, and B, it makes me feel better. And I said, really? Does it really make you feel better? Has it actually improved the long-term aspect of it? No. Let's work out how to get over this rather than just being angry at it, which I think is a top tip for getting there. So there's number 19. No, 19.
Pressure's on James. Number 20. Complete Eli's lazy 17.
Oh, you're using that word.
God, dear. He's never going to talk to us again.
No.
Okay, so mine is a phrase that I've been using a lot this week. The last couple of weeks I've been doing kind of 2 and 3 day rock school type tuition things with kids between 11 and 18. And
was he playing a Gibson SG?
No, I wasn't.
Was it the School of Rock?
It was.
I was about
School
to
of
say,
Rock-esque.
Did they teach you how to make that shape of your hands?
Yeah, I can do that. And the one thing that 9 times out of 10 that kids remember that we're not very good at sometimes is that this is supposed to be fun. So my number 20 is going to be, remember, we're not curing cancer. We're not doing something serious. We're being creative. We're doing an art form. It's supposed to be fun. So let's try and keep it that. It's not supposed to be something you get all stressed and het up about, because when you're all stressed and het up, you're at your least creative and your mind is shut down and locked down. So I think I must have said, God, to every group of kids we had through at some point the last couple of weeks, you know, this is supposed to be fun. If it's not fun, stop doing it. Now, I know we can't always have every single working hour of our lives, if you're doing this as for a job, be joyous, happy, fun time, happy, you know, laughy place. But at the same time, it's not supposed to be something you go, oh. I'm not actually sure what I said then, but there's some noise in there somewhere. Yeah, so it's supposed to be fun, so try and keep it that way. You'll be more creative, you'll enjoy it more, and just, yeah, you know, it's not like we've got a proper job.
It's very true. Keep it fun. I've said that to clients for years, because they can be very analytical of things when they're paying for someone's time like mine.
Being fun and keeping it fun and light doesn't mean not getting the job done. No. Not being professional. It means keeping the atmosphere light. Now, the one thing I have learned as with a producer's hat on, not just a gear junkie's hat on, is that the way to keep a session moving is not to get all down in the dumps and angry. And when things go wrong, which they always do, is not to, you know, necessarily turn on the four-letter word expletive tap and let it all flow out. It's to go, well, fair enough, we'll crack on then, we'll sort that one out. And, you know, these things are sent to try us. It's whenever there's technology and especially computers, things will go wrong. So keep it light, keep it jolly, and
keep humour in the studio. That's the best thing. It's the best lubricant.
There's the phrase, the best lubricant.
Lubricant is humour. And, yeah, just keep the laughs coming and the bants and... we do it, don't we, when we get together, when we're just in the studio, we're just having a chat, we're always having a laugh, because that's just normal, I find, in a studio. I'm always cracking jokes with anyone in here. It's probably not the most professional thing to do, but it just keeps it light and breezy, you know, it's like dentist surgery.
I've been there this morning as well.
Oh, shit,
so
sorry, James.
So if you think you can push our list past 20, or rather should I say Eli's list past 20, please add it either to the podcast notes, to the discuss bit down there, or into that particular Logic Pro Expert article. We would love to hear your home truths. So as we mentioned at the top of the show, we have an exclusive special offer from Michael Carnes at Exponential Audio. And this is only for you, our dearest podcast listeners. In a moment, we're going to read out a special URL. So get a pen and paper ready. You know, the old fashioned stuff we used to use at school. At the moment, Michael is offering Nimbus Stereo Reverb for $139.90 instead of $199. But these offers are only available for a very short period of time. So go to Exponential Audio's website, to the home page, and just add a /, if there isn't one already there, and type PTE special, all one word and all lowercase, into your browser URL field. Then click on the Buy Now button and follow the instructions to get the special price from Exponential Audio. Has to be said, this URL will not be repeated and printed in any of the podcast notes or any of the documentation that goes along with this particular publication or this broadcast, shall we say. So you will have to take a note of that PTE special from the audio format that you're listening to, type thing. Enough of my waffling and confusion. Let's crack on with some feedback from the community.
Yes, Dominic Morley's been in touch. Hi, guys. Basically, I was doing the quiet fan mod on my HD IOs this morning. That's what Rust did. a few years back on his. And while one went perfectly, the other is now not powering any fans, old or new. I was recommended a company called Lee Engineering in Lancaster, who apparently undertakes board level repairs on Avid gear. I've not heard of them before. I've used them. They're very good. That's probably the punchline of this bit of feedback. But they did come recommended by someone with first-hand experience. They were very good. The interface came back very quickly and the courier cost was half what I spent to get it there. So they're not trying to make any money off that, rather passing the savings onto their accounts onto their customers. Needless to say, they fixed the issue. They also installed a new Avid spec fan for me and explained their reservations about the quieter fan mod. Difference in voltage leads to a current difference through the circuit, which some components may not be able to handle. All around, I definitely use them again and would recommend them to anyone. Yes, I've used them as well many years ago when I had problems with my Digi 002 because those just used to fall apart. They are very good, Lee Engineering. So, Lancaster is in the UK.
Great stuff. So time to move on to questions from the community, and these are sponsored by our friends at RSPE Audio.
The Pro Tools Expert Community Feedback is brought to you with the kind support of RSPE Audio Solutions. Great people and great prices.
Yes, RSPE Audio are proud to become an authorised dealer of Amphion speakers. Known for being honest and accurate, Amphion speakers are hand-built in Finland to precise specifications, providing a full line of high-quality, great-sounding speakers. Contact RSP today for a demo or more information on Amphion studio monitors.
Okay, James, a couple of questions here that look like you'll be able to help. John Zonner, regarding your Audient Heritage console, is there any way I could call you to talk about your Audient desk? I'm thinking about making a change in my studio and I'm trying to get some real-world feedback on the boards.
Yes, John. Email me through the contact page and I will pass you my digits. Funnily enough, I'm not going to do that over the over the podcast because I like sleep. But yeah, reach out to me via email and I will happily we'll set something up, either Skype or telephone call or whatever, and we can talk toys. Sounds like fun to me.
Okay, another one here, James. It sounds like you're being a bit of an audience rep today. John Letella, hi. I oversee the recording production program at my university. We're looking at purchasing an Audient ASP 8024HE, which I believe you have purchased and love. I watched your videos as well as with it and regularly watch your videos. However, I have a couple of questions that, as an end user, I was hoping you could answer. First, do you think the DLC module is really good to get versus, for instance, a Slate Raven screen or an Avid S3 as a DAW controller center? Secondly, we are advised against getting the patch bay. Yeah, you've got that, haven't you? We were told that it doesn't function in the typical expected way and we would be better off wiring a separate patch bay. Do you have any thoughts on that? Any help you'd be able to give us would be fantastic. We have completely redesigned our studio suite from the ground up and want to give our students the best possible real-world experience. Our Studio B will have a dual Slate Raven touchscreen, nice, with NI Machine Jam and controller keyboards. Thanks for your fabulous website that provides so much help to everyone, and have a blessed day. James, go for it.
Okay, so are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. The DLC module, for those of you who are not necessarily in the know, is an extra module you can get in your Audient ASP 8024 console, which becomes your DAW controller and your means of controlling the faders of your DAW. Out of the box, and I don't think there's a mod yet, or it's certainly not a cheap mod, the Audient consoles are not, there is no automation feature in them. Therefore, there's no kind of dual layer which you can have as a DAW controller like you can with, let's face it, these super expensive Neves and SSL boards.
Or the black Neve, yeah.
Or the duality range of SSL boards. I didn't go the DLC module because, quite frankly, I didn't need it because I have a Raven. I have a Slate Raven, and that's my the control side, if you like, for the automation in Pro Tools. If I had more width, as in physical width to fit the a module in, I would probably look at the Avid S3 because it is a really tight integration with Pro Tools. I mean, it's an Avid hardware unit. They feel great. They look great. They're good and chunky. And actually, an Audient will make you a slightly wider module bay for your 8-24, so you can fit one of those in, and it'll be a really neat integration between Pro Tools, the Audient console, and a real world console experience. So I wouldn't go DLC. That's not me trying not to sell them through Audient, because I've never used one and don't. They didn't sell it to me as something that I would use in my workflow. Therefore, I didn't go for it. The patch bay thing, however, was a completely different story. I don't know of the price of the actual patch grade option, patch bay option, but it's a no-brainer. Get the patch bay to bring the level of connectivity up onto standalone Rian or Switchcraft Bantam patch bays. Is you're probably looking at a £6,000 to £7,000 extra investment on top of the console. It has to be said that I think the bit you're referring to about it not working like a normal patch bay is that there is no way to normalize or normal or half normalize, half normal, the patch bay on the 8-24. It's basically, if it's plugged in, it's connected. If it's unplugged, it ain't connected. There's no kind of, say, normalizing or half not normalizing available. You probably could, if you wanted to, and were prepared to take on a serious engineering challenge, you probably could take out some of the modules and swap them for more conventional patch bays. But quite frankly, it's not worth it. Just get the patch bay and accept that everything is already wired in there. It's already really neat. You're not going to get the same level of integration if you go for a standard patch bay, because you're not given all the options to be able to patch the signal and tap the signal at every single stage in the process like you are on the built-in patch bay. One of the reasons for getting the console, as well as, you know, it's fab and it sounds great and it's really easy to use, for my workflow, is to be able to patch things in and out really, really quickly and keep changing things because of the amount of gear reviews and toys I get to play with. So that's why I went for the patch bay. I would strongly advise you to go for the patch bay. Likewise, John, if you don't think you need it, reach out to me via the contact page and I will persuade you otherwise. This is one of those things that you really should do. So, next question. I think this one's got Alan's name all over it because Julian's told us it has. This one is from Jago James McGeorge. And if I haven't got that right, I'm terribly sorry. He says, "Hi, I believe Mike has had the Avid Dock for a while now. I would be very interested to see how he is using it. I'd particularly like to see how it can be used for automation editing and audio editing. How efficient is it for, say, dialogue editing? Can you let go of your mouse completely? Keep up the great work. Would be a lonelier place without you for this home worker." Well, that's not very nice of you to say. In Mike's absence, Alan, you've been playing one of these, haven't you?
Well, more than playing, I bought one. Going back to our earlier talking point, I mean, Dan, you were saying, yeah, don't buy anything without trying it out first. And for me, it was a case of actually trying out a part of the dock, which was the Pro Tools Control app. I mean, it's an essential part of it as well. And then realizing just how powerful that was on its own. I hadn't actually had any hands-on time with the dock beforehand. And I'm really averse to reading the instruction manual on anything. So it actually is incredibly intuitive, really good levels of control on it. UConn actually seems to be remarkably stable now as well. It's got lovely Yeah, it's got lovely jog wheel on it. So, yeah, you could absolutely edit dialogue if that's the way you like doing it. And I'm all for that. I'm all for editing using your ears rather than looking at waveforms. And, yeah, it's built well as well. It's got the S3 build quality on it, which means that the knobs don't feel like they're about to break off in your hand if you, you know, accidentally knock them or what have you like that. And it does actually weigh something as well. So it actually feels a solid piece of kit that you're using. It's not going to be knocked about or moved about easily with, you know, if you get, you know, active with the buttons on it. And there's some lovely little touches on it. So including the way that the buttons color coordinate with the buttons on the app as well. So, yeah, I think you could, with the soft keys in the app as well, you could definitely get away from your keyboard and your mouse. I think it's one of those things where if you've got your muscle memory of certain keyboard shortcuts or how you scrub using a mouse, it'd probably be quite hard to go back to using a jog wheel. I mean, when I first came to Pro Tools, I was used to using a jog wheel on proprietary hardware systems. And using a mouse was very alien to me. And I think now, going back to using a jog wheel, I do feel a bit alien jogging and scrubbing on audio. But that's not to say that you might not find that the best, most intuitive way of doing things. And yeah, and there's loads of other things that you can use a jog wheel for rather than scrubbing audio as well. You can use it the way to navigate around the sessions very easily as well. So yeah, I mean, I would definitely recommend going for a Pro Tools dock, even if you haven't got any other faders to go with it as well. It does work very well on its own. It's a lovely, solid piece of kit, and I think it's excellent value actually for what it's for what they go out at as well. I think it's a really good piece of kit. Good luck with it, definitely.
Great stuff. Okay, moving onwards. Niels Nielsen, hello. I just updated my Studio One Pro 4 to the latest update. I also own and I have updated to the latest Melodyne Studio 4. When I applied Melodyne on a vocal track, the timing is now incorrect. The track with Melodyne is now being played way too early, even though the waveform itself is intact and on time. If I render the track with Melodyne, the waveform updates and is clearly not on time. If I move the whole file to the grid to make it sound all right in the beginning, it loses the timing after a while, so the whole file is unusable. This was not the case a few days ago before I updated Studio One. I haven't changed anything at all, just upgraded. Can you find this problem and any workarounds? I'm in the middle of mixing sessions. Well, there's a whole mantra there anyway. And this is a true disaster. I know, never update while mixing.
I'm not a Studio One user, though, but I'll have a crack at this. Okay, sounds like the upgrade might have caused a problem, possibly. I'm assuming you're using ARA. You've updated to the latest version of Melodyne Studio 4. Well, the logic tells me that that all should work, especially as it's all that news with ARA 2 recently. I don't know. And I'm going to be honest, I don't know. Now, if this was me and I was up against it, as you are, Neil, I would export my tracks out of Melodyne and work in Melodyne standalone. Get your stuff done in Melodyne standalone, excuse me, export it back out, re-import it as a new audio file, and hopefully that will keep you working and get your project done. But as James said earlier, you've learned from this, don't upgrade things mid-project, because that's when things go wrong.
just looking at it there, I mean, he says if he lines the file to the grid, it loses the timing after a while. So this is screaming sample rate to me.
Yeah, me too.
Could. But it's
presumably ARA though deals
should
with
sort
all that.
That out. Yeah, that's what I'm assuming, that everything is, it's supposed to be very, very easy, and that it's, you don't have these problems. uninstall Melodyne, reinstall Melodyne. Give that a shot. It's a bit desperate, but let's see if that works. If it doesn't work, I don't know. I can't help. Contacts, I'd go PreSonus on this one and ask them if they've had any reports of this issue. This is the first I've heard of it. And yeah, if you do need to get your work done quickly, get out of Studio One, work in the standalone app, because there is a saviour there. Get your stuff done, put it back into Studio One, and hopefully you don't have the timing problems that you're getting. So I can't be any more help on that one.
The Pro Tools Expert podcast is created using Source Connect Now from Source Elements. Register now for your free account at now.source-elements.com.
If you've ever tried to do interviews over the internet with apps like Skype, you know how hit and miss the audio quality and connection can be. Even on a good day, it isn't really good enough for a long-form interview. We now use Source Connect Now, which offers ISDN equivalent quality audio using a Chrome browser with no software to install. To get your free account, follow the link in the podcast notes down there. Please can I? I haven't been on for a while. Please can I? Can I? It's time for Find of the Week.
Hi, you're listening to the Pro Tools Expert podcast Find of the Week, proudly sponsored by Synchro Arts.
Synchro Arts are proud to announce the release of Revoice Pro 4, the ultimate toolbox for timing and pitch adjustment. Containing over 70 new features and improvements to sonic output, workflow and performance, Revoice Pro 4 can save you hours of editing time in the studio, ensure high production values and help you achieve your creative vision. Get your free 14-day trial over at synchroarts.com today and take advantage of the 20% off introductory pricing on all new licenses and upgrades.
Great stuff. So, find of the week. Thus far, Dan hasn't actually typed one. So, Alan, what's yours?
Well, we've already touched on it. So I now have a Pro Tools dock. And to go with it...
We will get to this shortly.
Sorry,
Alan. Sorry, I'm terribly sorry, Alan. Please do continue.
I can't get that out of my head now. Oh dear, that's an image that's going to stay. Oh, never mind. Right, anyway, I've got an artist mix to go with the doc. And I completely lost my thread now. But actually, given that it's not the control surface that was designed to be used with the doc, which was the S3, the artist mix actually does very, very, very well. And it's a quarter of the price. Maybe more.
Was it a new one or an eBay one?
New one.
Sweet.
Because eBay ones were probably about 100 quid less. That's all.
All right, fair enough.
Because I think there were loads and loads of bargains for Diginet consoles, controllers and such like that. But... since having used Yukon and used its various delights and such like that, it is so well tuned into the Pro Tools infrastructure now, and I really couldn't do now without just lovely little things. Like if I've got one of my typical drama mixes up on the system and it's got in excess of 200 tracks, I can very easily scroll through that on the app and I can just tap on whichever one is one of my VCA masters. The VCA master comes up on the dock. All the VCA slaves spill out onto the artist mix.
That's nice, so isn't it?
Very nice. That's nice. Really, really cute. And just lovely little ways of getting attention or getting the right fader under your hand. Because, I mean, I've said before in my review of the Icon platform controllers that I had previously found eight faders, a bit limiting. But... I have to say, with the control system that they've got worked out with the dock and the artist mix, no longer. I can definitely get by with eight faders. They are really, really fast working, really intuitive, and works with Pro Tools really, really well. So, yeah, it's a little bit more expensive, but I think it's definitely get your money's worth with this.
Sweet. So, community, I apologise, and Julian or someone will probably put either a beep over this, or we might even get an expletive E in our rating. But apparently, I have to ask Dan, ask me what I'm wearing. So, what are you wearing, Dan?
That is the most expensive thing I think I've ever worn. I've got a set of the Adam Audio SP5 headphones on. I've had these for a few days, and I haven't taken them off.
You look really, really warm in the shower.
Yeah. No, absolutely brilliant. They're lovely. I'm just trying to get my head around them.
Hey!
Pun intended. Because the elephant in the room, the price. $499. They are dear.
Oh dear.
No, but they are very, very nice. They're not really Adam Audio headphones, I'll tell you that. They are actually made by another company, and it appears Adam Audio have stuck a badge on the side of them and claimed they're theirs. But no, that's not really true, if I'm honest. I'm just having some fun. A review to follow. It's going to be glowing. And yeah.
Is it radioactive?
No. These are very good headphones. I have not used an expensive or a set of headphones this expensive before in anger, and I am going to push these things hard over the next week. Drum recording, mixing, mastering, you name it. I'm actually going to be using these more than my headphones to see if...
How much are they just offhand?
So $499.
Well, that's not so... It's not silly money for headphones.
It's not utterly silly money, you know.
The UltraZone ones that are like £1,600, £1,700, that's silly money.
Or the big Grados. The
reason why I'm saying that, you know, $499 could be a lot of money is because, if you remember that post I put out not that long ago, there are quite a few nice monitors that you can buy for the same amount. And I've always been of the mind of I'd rather spend that amount of money on a set of monitors than a set of headphones. So this really is just a test to see if I think that kind of outlay on headphones would be worth it over buying, let's say, a set of Adam's T-Series, which are less money. So, yeah, review to follow. And watch this space. James, what is your find of the week?
So you're all expecting some carbon graphite something that's uber expensive, and actually this week you're totally right. Jay-Z Microphones reached out to me and said, would I like to try their Black Hole microphone, the BH1? It looks funky, it's very, very cool looking, and sounds great. Really, really nice. Very much a vocalist's mic, but I think it could be the case also, but I'm doing a session tomorrow where I think I've probably tripled the value of my car by filling it full of microphones. Lots of different mics, lots of different techniques that we're going to be showing off and stuff. So keep your eyes peeled for those. But certainly the pair of Jay-Z Black Hole BH1s that I have been sent are going to make an appearance in those videos. So on that, I'm trying to think of some kind of astrological kind of black hole of an announcement. It is time for us to end. So it's good night from me.
Good night from me.
And it's good night from me.
Good night.